Hey, it's Brian. Before we get into today's QA session, I want to talk about a new master's program in global sport offered by NYU. The NYU School of Professional Studies, Preston Robert Tisch Institute for Global Sport, is announcing this new master's, Global Sports. It's a 36-credit, 16-month master's degree. It's designed for busy professionals, so it's offered online with 4 one-week residencies, so you can envision yourself keeping your job and then studying in this master's program online, and then doing the one-week residencies, 2 in New York City and 1 each in Tokyo and Madrid. If you're going to learn the global sport world, you know, you got to get out there, right? Tokyo and Madrid. 2 pretty cool trips, and New York City ain't so bad either. You'll gain comprehensive knowledge of sports business on a global scale, and that's the way we are headed. It's crazy to think about it. Like, rugby's getting bigger here domestically, basketball's getting bigger around the world. Everything's crossing over and cross-pollinating, and that's exciting for our sports world. So check out this new Masters in Global Sport offered by NYU. You can apply today at sps.nyu.edu/globalsport1. One more time, sps.nyu.edu/globalsport1. And the Work in Sports podcast is brought to you by workinsports.com, the number one job board for the sports industry. Get this, 12,976 active sports jobs on our site right now, and another 609 internships. That's a crazy amount of opportunity. And I'll tell you, I've been working in this industry for 20 years, and every day on our site, I see an organization or a job title I had either never heard of or had forgotten about, and it reintroduces you to these concepts and these opportunities. That's the thing. I have people say to me all the time, I'll just search for gigs on Google, or I'll go to some other free site. Yeah, but if you don't know who or what to search for, you'll never find it, right? I'm looking at a manager. I'm looking at our site right now as I do this. I'm looking at a manager of marketing and communication for a national lacrosse league team, social media coordinator for a minor league baseball team, director of communication and PR for a chain of fitness clubs, digital creative specialist for Learfield Sports, who's connected to college athletics. All these different opportunities that if you're not thinking of them, we will help remind you of them. We'll show you exactly where they are, exactly what opportunities are out there, give you all the job description, easy apply system. We'll even tell you what jobs your resume matches you for. Super powerful stuff. There's so many opportunities out there, but you really only need one that's your perfect match. Well, find your one at workinsports.com, because everyone deserves a job they love. All right, let's start the countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hey everybody, I'm Brian Clapp, director of content for workinsports.com, and this is the Work in Sports podcast. Coming up later this week on the pod, Andrew Sidney, Houston Rockets director of group and inside sales, just conducted this interview late last week, and it was really cool. Andrew has a really interesting background, interned with 3 different minor league teams while in college, dabbled in PR, operations, coaching, most of his internships helped him figure out what he didn't want to do. And a lot of people look at that as a downside, like, oh my gosh, I just did this internship and it didn't get me closer to my end goal. Actually, gaining career clarity and figuring out what you don't like is just as important sometimes. So he figured out what he didn't like. He ended up getting a sales job with the Frisco Rough Riders and loved it. Has never looked back. And now just 10 years into his career, he's an executive with an NBA team. More on his story coming up on Wednesday, but I'm telling you, it's interesting. And it reminds me once again how powerful jobs in sales are and how everybody should consider them, even if they think it's not their match. You might be surprised. And the ceiling for these jobs is so high and the opportunity is so high. And there's great people out there doing it. And you learn so much about the business and revenue creation. Powerful stuff. Listen into that interview on Wednesday, and I think you'll be inspired, as I was, even though I never have worked in sales, but I know the power of it. I've seen it firsthand. Okay, but today, let's get to today. It's a fan question day. I love Mondays. Maybe it's my ego. Actually, it is definitely my ego, because in these episodes, I get to talk a lot more. On the Wednesdays, I have to consciously tell myself to shut up and let them talk. You know, let my expert be the expert. But on Mondays, it's all me, baby. All from this guy. So let's check this question for today. It comes from Bradley in San Diego. Bradley, what would you like to know? Hi, Brian. This is Bradley. Thank you. That's been established. I'm talking to myself a lot today, but let's keep going. I've been really focused on your tips for creating a great resume lately, since I'm not sure mine is up to quality yet. You mentioned the importance of metrics, having data in your resume to prove you're capable of making a tangible difference. But what else can you share? Any new ideas or concepts that can help us stand out for the right reasons? Okay, Bradley, great question. I'll admit I don't do a ton of resume advice for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's such a subjective thing. Every person reading your resume is going to have a different style that they're looking for, or content they seek, or format that appeals to them. I've been in panels where I've heard one people say, I love somebody to show personality and color and graphics. And then the next person's like, oh my God, if I see that stuff, I push it to the side because I don't want that. I want to know that they're skilled and they're talented. So it's so hard to give anybody a black and white perception on what they should do. So for me to provide advice that may or may not be right for that person's scenario, it kind of freaks me out because I like to give good advice that works. And I'm never sure resume advice is all that black and white. That said, there are best practices to follow, standards of operation that we can lean into and follow. And that's what I'm going to get into today, but I'm also going to throw in some creative ideas. Okay. The other reason I don't do a ton of resume advice, and this is very selfish, is because I get tons of agitated feedback every time I talk resumes. Or I get tons of people saying, hey, can you review my resume for me? And no offense to those people that are asked, I totally appreciate you asking. I'm not saying this to call you out, but when you get 40 or 50 of those a week, it could take up my entire day doing that. And I just don't have that kind of time, even though I want to. So then it frustrates me that I'm not helping and I've tried to respond. And then I'm like feeling just like stressed in my normal to do. So sometimes I avoid it just because, yeah, I'm selfish. Also, when I talk about like including metrics on your resume, like, you know, something like increased Twitter followers by 23%, or implemented a social media campaign that resulted in a 17% increase in revenue, or created a mentorship program that resulted in 80% less turnover in the first year staff. When I talk about that kind of stuff, which I think is super powerful and is what you should be doing, using metrics to prove things rather than just using these action words or, you know, powerful terms or squishy things. When I talk about that stuff, I invariably get hundreds of emails saying, yeah, but how do I do that for my career? My career doesn't have metrics. My experience doesn't have metrics. And then I spend the next 32 hours writing back to people telling them, yes, it does. Here are three examples. Now you do the rest. Or I feel like I'm defending myself or my concepts. And it drives me a bit crazy. And I respond to everyone. And the next thing you know, I'm in this black hole of responding and I'm whining a lot now and I'm going to stop. But that's why I tend to avoid resume advice, because it's just one of those things. It's a hot button topic that people get upset about. But for you, Bradley, and for the sake of this podcast and for the sake of the future of everyone out there listening, I will venture into the resume waters again. Just don't hate mail me, people. Play nice. Okay. I'd also like to add that in our upcoming release of our online course, The Sports Career Game Plan, brought to you by me and workinsports.com, for purchase soon on our site, I have a whole course module on resumes, cover letters, and personal branding. There are four course modules. You can bundle them all together and get all four, or you can buy individual modules, and one of them is on resumes, cover letters, and personal branding, and it's really cool. So the course is bonkers. If you like this podcast, you're in for a treat, and we're making it super cheap so everyone can get involved. And now I'm going to get it back on track. So let's talk about resume ideas. And let's say it's ideas that make sense and work, because new is relative. Like a new resume ideas or new concepts, it's like, I don't know if they're necessarily, well, a couple of them are. I'll say that. By the way, my favorite one is the last one, which I think is 6 or 7. So definitely stay listening. Okay. First two, kind of squishy, but work with me here. Number one, before you start writing anything or putting anything together or making your final resume, start with your purpose. Okay, this is one of the things that it took me a while to figure out that was important, but now I cannot function without it. It sounds kind of squishy and it's not black and white and it's not easy for each individual to identify, but tone and feeling and purpose are really important. If you are somewhat lost and scrambled in your career goals and your aspirations, that's going to come through on your resume. It's going to be scattered. I've read resumes before and thought afterwards, I don't really get this person. I don't really understand who they are. You want to have direction. And if you know your purpose and what really drives you and what makes you excited and enthusiastic, Once you can identify that, you can give your resume that feeling, that kind of passion, that kind of purpose and direction. And the content in your resume has focus, and that's really important. You want the person reading to feel that they understand you, your skill set, how you fit what they need, and why you are applying for that job. And you can't do that if you just sit down and start writing down random bullet points of what you did. Like if you take a very tactical approach of, I did these five things. That's great. That tells a little bit of your story, but how do those fit with this job and your purpose and who you want to be and why that matters to this person reading it? It's not just being a skills match. I mean, that's super important. We're going to talk about that. You also want to make it make sense and have it all fit together. Once you have your purpose, you'll know what jobs to target, what organizations to focus on, and how to create a resume that fits those opportunities. So start with that strong foundation in purpose. Okay. Number two, ask yourself or have someone ask you career-focused questions that will help drive the creative process. A few of my favorites. Okay. Why am I applying to this job? What skills do I have that fit this job? How can I make this organization better? Once you start doing those things, before you start writing your resume, once you start doing those things and organizing those thoughts, those answers will pervade and work themselves into your bullet points, your mission statements, all the little parts of, you know, copy that you have in there. You'll start to tell it in that framework of how you're going to make the organization better, why you're here, what skills do you have that fit this job. Once you get that written out almost like your outline and have those answers there, it's going to pervade and feel into your tone of the resume. You know, a lot of people, you know, you think of your resume. If I tell you I need you to create a resume, the first thing you're going to think of is bullet points, experiences, skills, right? You think of it a list of experiences and accomplishments. That is true. And yours in the end will end up looking like that. But clear your mind for a second and think of this as just a piece of paper meant to convince someone you are the right fit for this job. Well, under that thought process and under that thought exercise, you're just trying to create a document that really shows you are the right fit for this job. Then you get to think about what should it include? What should it answer? How do I explain my purpose, my why, my skills, how I can make a difference here? Like I said, your resume will end up being a list of experiences and accomplishments. That's what they are, but told through a lens of purpose and why. Once you ask yourself those questions and give yourself a little bit of a structure to it. Okay. Make sense? Okay. Number three, if you don't match your skill set to the needs of the job you are applying for, you have not been paying attention to this podcast or anything I've ever said. Okay. First point, you need a new resume for each application, and it needs to focus on the traits they want in the job description. Okay. You do not have one resume. Now, you might have one foundation for a resume and you tweak it each time. I'm not saying you have to start from scratch each time, but you will have one shell of a resume and then you will change it each time based on this individual job and what they need. Okay. Again, it's not about what you want. It's about what they need. What strengths do you have that fit the job they want to fill? If it was bullet point five on the last resume you sent out, you want to make sure that top thing that they're looking for is bullet point one. You're going to move things around. You're going to change. You're going to pull this in. You're going to take that out, right? Make sure your resume highlights your traits. Okay. Make sense? If it doesn't, I'm disappointed in you because you haven't been listening long enough. Number four, focus on hard skills. Okay. Stating that you have experience with Final Cut Pro or Salesforce or CRM software is more powerful than soft skills like I'm a team player and I have high work ethic. It's not only more powerful when humans read it, it's way more powerful when applicant tracking systems read it. Here's what I mean. Every organization, almost every organization, uses an applicant tracking system because they get in so many resumes. And the applicant tracking system is an algorithm, is a piece of software that analyzes your resume and gives it a score against the job description. It does not understand and comprehend things as well or score as high things like team player and high work ethic, because those are just squishy subjective statements. Okay. Anybody can say that they have high work ethic. It doesn't mean they do. But it does give a higher score to matches in skill sets like Final Cut Pro or Salesforce or CRM software or some of those examples, those things that you need to have to do the job. So it's extremely important, again, that you study the job description. You know exactly what they're looking for. You highlight it on your resume and you emphasize them, the hard skills. And it's not just keywords and skills. It's also identifying pain points. Let me explain this. Look between the lines of the job description. This is extremely helpful when the human person reads it because, you know, yes, it's an applicant tracking system. It's going to do the first scan of all the resumes and give them an initial score. That's where focusing on the hard skills is extremely important. Okay. But eventually a human's going to look at it and it's going to be the human that decides whether you get an interview or not. You get a callback, you get a video interview, you come into the office, you get relocated, whatever. Okay. So the human is going to read it and they're going to look for their pain points as an organization. So look between the lines of the job description. What do they need? It's in there, the hidden pain points. You want someone to read your resume and think, this is exactly who I need to help us solve our problems. If they mention revenue creation 5 times, well, you know they need revenue creators. So lean into your sales experience or how you've increased revenue or what sponsorship sales or whatever you've done that is tied into revenue. If you figured out like an inefficiency in the accounting and you increased revenue reporting by 12%, include that kind of stuff, right? They're looking for ways to increase their revenue. And sometimes that comes from savings in an accounting sense, or it comes from generating new sales or sponsorship deals or whatever it may be. If they mention connection to the community or organizational structure or creative marketing or social growth, well, now you know where to lean in. It's more than just, you know, like if they say social growth, we're looking for someone that can help us grow our social channels and our reach and our, you know, conversion rates or whatever it may be. Well, then it's more than I can just edit videos. It's something like accomplished Final Cut Pro editor with a proven track record of conversion improvement through creative social video campaigns. Or tie in a metric, even better. Okay, I'm just spitballing these things, so don't like write them down, but just work with me here. Accomplished Final Cut Pro editor and producer of social video campaigns that has resulted in a 38% increase in site visits. You know, those are the kind of things. Now you've hit on the pain point. You got the skill, Final Cut Pro. You hit the pain point. They're looking for social growth. And the metric, 38% increase, all in one bullet point. Okay. You've also, by using, you know, some of the tone there, you've started to show off your passion a little bit too. That's what you're going for. Okay. So that's really important, is to focus on the hard skills, but also analyze those pain points that come through in the hidden message of the job description. Okay. Number 5. Skip the objective statement and get to a mission statement. Okay, objective statements are when people say near the top of their resume what they want out of an opportunity. You know, something like seeking an entry-level marketing opportunity that will leverage my experience with branding and promotions. Great, you've told me exactly what you want. Problem is, as a hiring manager, I don't care what you want. I care what I need. I care what my organization needs. I care about my pain points. If you're going to write anything at the top, it has to be a mission statement. And your mission statement is how you can help them, right? Collaborative, detail-oriented leader with demonstrated expertise in content marketing, broadcast media, and podcasting. 20 years experience in digital and broadcast media as a writer, editor, producer, news director, and strategist. That's 2 sentences, and it tells a little bit more about how I can help their organization. Something like that is more effective and tells them a little about you before you get into it, right? This is telling them, before they get into all the details of your accomplishments and skills and all those other things, it's a quick off the top, here's who I am and here's how I help you. Not what I want, how I help you. See the difference? Okay, number 6. This is my personal favorite. It's a little different, but it's a new idea that I've been playing around with. Okay, this is how I think a lot. I think about, I read or I listen to podcasts, and I'm always looking for little things that I can learn that I can put into my world, right? I'm trying to figure out how these things fit. Or I notice when I'm reading something, what are my eyes drawn to? Where do I look? Why do I look there? So, you know how when you're reading a long form article on, let's say, ESPN.com, and they'll have call out quotes, right? So it's like it looks like an image almost, but it's just a quote from someone in the article. They highlight in bold italics to emphasize the point and call out that specific thing. Every time when I'm reading a long form article, I see those quotes. They stand out to me. They tell me what's most important. It validates what this author is trying to get across. It conveys a strong message that this is what this is about. Well, what about something like that on your resume? Imagine you have your mission statement, your experience, your education, but on the right side of the page, there's a little box that you've created with a quote in it. Here's an example. Because of Brian's commitment to creating the Work in Sports podcast, our premium memberships increased by 14%. John Meller, CEO, workinsports.com. That is so much more powerful than references available upon request, right? Take a quote from somebody about you and put it highlighted in your resume, right? That's pretty powerful. And it's going to draw eyes and they're going to see it. Here's the cool thing. Recruiters and hiring managers take an average of 7.4 seconds looking at a resume. Fact. 7.4 seconds. They don't take a lot of time. So you want to have certain things that stand out. And maybe a super powerful quote like that, that is not just like, Brian's a great guy, love working with him. You know, something specific is really powerful. So how do you get something like that? How are you going to get a quote like that about you? You ask. Ask your intern coordinator, maybe even write something for them and get them to approve it and allow you to use it. Don't make anything up, you know, make it factual, but go to them and say, hey, I'd like to include a quote from you in my resume. I think that would be super powerful. And I feel like I've learned so much from you. Could I include something like this and show it to them? And then maybe they'll say, oh, I want to change it a little bit. Or yeah, that's great. Go ahead. You got my endorsement. Come at them nicely like that and ask. And there's a low chance that they're going to say no. And if you don't want to ask someone at the company you're currently at for fear they'll know you're looking for another job, well, just step back to a previous role. Like I'm at workinsports.com right now, and I maybe I wouldn't feel comfortable asking my CEO to give me a quote to go get a new job. So I'd go back to somebody I worked with at Fox Sports, or I go back to somebody I worked with at CNN Sports Illustrated, or I go to a coworker now that might have something they could say, a peer that may, you know, not be as concerned with me leaving the company. And just for anybody listening that works at workinsports.com, I'm not leaving the company. I'm just, you know, kind of share some advice here. Ask a peer rather than a supervisor. You know, Becky is someone I've come to rely on as an on-job performer and a trusted confidant. You know, something of those natures that it could just be a slick way of presenting that other people think positively about you rather than, you know, references available upon request. I always thought that was just like a throwaway line. So I'm looking for ways to improve upon that. And this idea of a call out quote is really pretty strong to me, and I like it. And I'm going to do it in my resume. Not that I'm sending it anywhere. I just want to make that point clear again, but just, you know, that's an idea that I want you guys to try and run with. There's no way somebody would look at that and be like, why do they have that there? It's not like you have like a pink paper or something. It's like a really good, strong, specific call out. Stronger than a reference. You know, maybe even if you have a recommendation or somebody's given you a reference on your LinkedIn profile or anything like that, there's something you can pull from there. There's a lot of different ways you could get this stuff, but the most powerful way is to ask. And if you want to work in, let's say, community relations, we'll focus the quote in that direction. If you want to work in analytics, focus on how you manipulate data. The quote should emphasize your purpose and how you fit this role. Okay. So those are six ideas in addition to my ongoing plight to get everyone to include metrics on their resume, change metrics. Those are six ideas to get you started in this idea of improving your resume and making the whole thing better. Remember the applicant tracking systems. Remember how they see data. Remember how to present yourself and the hard skills. And then also, you know, weaving in your purpose and your passion and why that's important to you. And then remember, your cover letter is the perfect balance to that. It is not a paragraph form of your resume. It's your opportunity to tell an accomplishment story. And if you want to learn more about that, there's been many episodes on it, on your cover letter, and our new module that's coming out for the Sports Career Game Plan will go into even greater detail. So keep a lookout for that as well. Andrew Sidney from the Houston Rockets on Wednesday. Thank you everyone for listening. Make sure to subscribe, make sure to review, make sure to share it with friends and tell me great things about myself and make me feel happy and pretty and nice and handsome, because those are all very important things to me and my ego. Thank you for listening. All right, everybody, it's time to get back to work.